This?
Yeah.
No. Okay. You guys ready? All right, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. The July 7th meeting of the Los Osos Community Services District. So with that, then we go have the Pledge of Allegiance. John Eric, please.
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Technical difficulties are over.
Yeah, Gene Durant's been working right now.
Okay. Good, Ann, could you call the roll, please?
Director Sasania.
Here.
Director Tarnowski.
Here.
Director Wright.
Here.
Vice President Storm.
Here.
President Ohilski.
Present.
Yeah.
Okay, so with that, then, we'll move to item two, presentation and public hearings. The first one is item A, which is the introduction of CAL FIRE Unit Chief Scott Jalbert, and I'm going to administer the firefighter's oath to new Station 15 South Bay Reserve firefighters Parker Burt, Jeffrey Edsel, and George Mert. So with that, could you guys please come up to the front here? You guys can be on camera. I'll just be giving the oath here. Okay, so this is the oath of office. What I'll do is I'll read the oath, and then at the end you just say, I swear. So if you'd raise your right hand, please. I, state your name. Do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California, that I take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will, well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter. Thank you. I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to take a couple minutes to say a few words, no, really about 30 seconds. I just want to say that this is an awesome opportunity for these young men taking their first steps into a service in the fire service career, and I think that they're doing it in a place that's super supportive. We have a wonderful department here. We have a wonderful support from the community and the board, and I just couldn't think of a better place for folks to start their career than here at South Bay Fire. So with that being said, if we have family members for the pinning, please come on up. Thank you.
So with that, on behalf of the board of the Los Osos Community Service District, I'd like to congratulate you. And I would have to agree with what the chief said. There's no better place for you guys to serve than here. So we appreciate you coming on as the reserve firefighters, and thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, with that, then we'll get on to our regular business agenda. Again, thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. So the next item on our agenda is item 2B, which is to adopt resolutions submitting the following fiscal year 2016-2017 assessments and special tax rolls to San Luis Obispo County for collection. There are five separate items here: drainage special tax, fire special tax, Bay Ridge Estates annual charges, Vista de Oro annual charges, and the Wastewater Assessment District 1 assessments. We will get the staff report in en masse here, but we will have separate public hearings on each one of these items. So with that, I'll turn it over to Peter.
So, Mr. President, members of the board, this is an annual action on the part of your board of directors to approve these various fees and charges that have been either approved on the ballot or approved through a majority protest public hearing process in the past. And the reason that they come before you in this manner is that they're placed on the county tax rolls and collected at the same time and place as the ad valorem regular property taxes that the county collects. And then they charge us a small fee and transmit that money to us. It's a very clean and orderly way to collect that. It is in the best interest of the district to continue in that means. And it requires an action of the board to approve placing it on the roll. You don't have a whole lot of latitude to move the amounts of these fees or charges around. They have been fixed by their individual actions, for example, with the fire tax that was approved by the voters with a specific mechanism to increase the amount of the tax potentially on an annual basis based on the consumer price index change. And you've already heard that particular item at your last meeting. The other items are remaining the same in their cost other than the wastewater assessment item, and I can get into that in this discussion, but the other items were fees for maintenance of the facilities, the drainage and the wastewater facilities in Vista de Oro and Bay Ridge. And those fees were in place to cover the cost of the service. And those fees will remain in place until the facility loans are paid back. So a few years more that those fees in Vista de Oro and Bay Ridge will continue to be charged on an annual basis until we pay back the water fund that loaned money to those funds to be able to do certain improvements for the county to take the wastewater system over. Some fees in the future will still remain in effect for street lighting, but that's a future action of this board at a later date. On the wastewater assessment, I want to bring your attention to a document that came out a little bit later. I had intended for that evaluation. It's titled Wastewater Assessment District Number 1, Administrative Fee Calculation 2016-17. That is a document that you did not have associated with your action last year, where you approved the administrative fee of $12 for the to be tacked on to the amount charged for the wastewater assessment for its administration and various other purposes. So this document breaks that component down into assessment district administration charges, both currently meeting assessment reporting requirements and certain due diligence requirements that we have, and then also annual reporting for the future and annual assessment calculations. The wastewater bond reserve fund that we talked about at our budget public hearing, that is part of the bankruptcy and part of the requirement to keep a certain amount of reserve in the wastewater bond fund, and then also the allocated administrative expense. That is the percentage of the admin expenses that are charged to the wastewater service and covered by this fee. I'm not sure exactly how that was covered in the past. It's always been an expense of the district, and it's been charged by percentage to wastewater, but it's never been shown on this particular fee. So I'm not sure how you've been recovering that, but you are allowed under that assessment approval to go to $50 per year per parcel for administrative. This proposes to be at $24.32. I don't expect this to increase every year like this. This is basically the first time that this has been calculated in this way, and it should reduce by the $9,750 next year. That's a one-time cost. So in summary, those are what you're acting on. The assessment, the wastewater assessment being the last one that I discussed.
Okay, since we're going to take each one of these items separately for a public hearing and resolution, do I have any questions just on specific to the drainage special tax? Pardon me, the drainage special tax? Okay, seeing none, then we'll go ahead and open for public comment on item 2B1, which is the drainage special tax district. Does anybody have comments on that? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment on that and bring it back to the board. Discussion or a motion, please.
I move that we adopt resolution 2016-23, I guess this is that what this one would be?
Yes.
Regarding the drainage assessment for the next fiscal year.
2023?
25, excuse me. Excuse me, 25.
We're in a different order.
Yeah,
the order in the agenda is different than the order in the...
Second.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and 2 seconds. John Eric was the second. So with that, we'll take a roll call vote, please.
Director Sesania.
Yes.
Vice President Storm.
Yes.
Director Tornatsky.
Yes.
Director Wright.
Yes.
President Ohilsky.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, then, we'll go ahead and move to the public comment or public, pardon me, public comment on B2 or 2B2, which is the fire special tax. Do we have it? Yes, Richard?
Richard Martinson, just briefly, don't forget that we're not required by the special fire tax that was adopted to take the CPI each year. There were years in the early process that we didn't take any of the CPI increase, and there were some years that we didn't take the full CPI. That one's not mandated like, you know, the $16 for drainage. We do have flexibility there. I'm not saying this is the year to do it, but if property taxes continue to increase at the rate that looks like they're going to, that may come up again down the road.
Thank you. Julie.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and at your last board meeting, you failed to have a discussion about the increase in the fire tax. As I recall, we were to have that heard as a public hearing so that the public could be involved in that discussion. It was on your consent calendar, and your general manager said that it was a automatic CPI, and that is incorrect. So when I saw it on tonight's agenda, I had hoped that there might be maybe more to it, an explanation. Because we do go through this every year, and you just didn't have that opportunity this last month, and you're really not doing it now either. So that's my comment on the fire tax.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment on the fire special tax and bring it back to the board for discussion and or a motion?
I'll make a motion. I move the board adopt resolution 2016-26, I believe, to levy the assessment as listed separately in Exhibit A for fire, and direct staff submit adopt resolutions and tax rolls to the county for collection.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Any more discussion? I just would like to make one comment, and I think what Richard is saying is true. I know since I've been on the board, there's been times when we've chosen not to take the the cost of living increase. But I do think with the challenges that we're facing right now in the fire department, especially with the reserve firefighters, I think this is one of the times that we definitely do need to take it. So with that, we'll have a roll call. Ann, please.
Director Wright.
Yes.
Vice President Storm.
Yes.
Director Sesania.
Yes.
Director Tornatsky.
Yes.
President Ohilski.
Yes. Okay, with that, then we'll move to B3, the Bay Ridge Estate Annual Charges. Do we have any questions about that item? Okay, seeing none, we'll move to public comment on Bay Ridge Estates. Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board.
I move that the board adopt resolution 2016-23. To levy the assessments as separately listed in Exhibit A for Bay Ridge Estates, and direct staff to submit the adopted resolution and tax rolls to the county for collection.
So we have a motion. Do we have a second, please?
I'll second.
Moved by Director Storm, seconded, or Vice President Storm, pardon me, and seconded by Director Wright. Can we have a roll call? Any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, can we have a roll call, please?
Vice President Storm?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Sesania?
Yes.
Director Tornatsky?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to item B4, the Vista de Oro annual charges. Do we have any questions before we go to public comment? Okay, seeing none, public comment on Vista de Oro? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board for discussion and or a motion.
I move that the board adopt resolution 2016-24 to levy the assessments as listed separately for Vista de Oro, and direct staff to submit the adopted resolution and tax roll to the county for collection.
I'll second.
Okay, we have moved by Vice President Storm, seconded by Director Sesina. Any more discussion? Okay, seeing none, can we have a roll call, please?
Vice President Storm?
Yes.
Director Sesina?
Yes.
Director Tornatsky?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, we'll move to the last item under B here, which is B5, the Wastewater Assessment District Number 1 Assessments. Do we have any questions? I know,
yeah,
I do.
I have a question.
Okay. I think this one we'll have some discussion on here.
What's the deadline for adopting this resolution and sending it on to the county?
It has to be received at the county, I believe, July 18th.
Okay.
So it has to go back to Wallace Group, then they process, and so they'll need...
You need to speak into the microphone, man, so the people at home can hear us. Or hear you. Could you repeat the answer, please?
Yes, it needs to be back to the county July 18th, I believe that is. But before then, it has to go back to Wallace Group, and Lonnie processes and gets it to the
Okay,
county.
Thank you.
Yeah, Chuck, did you have a question also?
Didn't we kind of have a difference of opinion with Mr. Erb last year about the appropriateness of the $12 assessment, the administrative charge on the assessment that And whether that was legitimate or not? Now we're going to double that. Have we checked with Mr. Erb? Have we got anything in writing from him about his views on this?
His views stand in writing related to the charging of the assessment of this of the administrative fee on the bonds for the purpose of accumulating the wastewater bond reserve, as it's detailed, obviously, in the bankruptcy settlement. That was his point of contention. It is customary and normal for the district to cover if there are out-of-pocket administrative costs, either paying a third party or for our own efforts to administer this assessment district, for those to be quantified and collected on the as part of the administrative charge. And that's what we've done here, and that's why I'm recommending that this be attached to the resolution. I went through all the documentation related to this matter in the prior years, and there wasn't a lot of documentation to support the amount of the fee other than discussion about it going into this particular reserve. And so in this case, that same controversy still exists, but it is being handled through our trustee U.S. Bank, and it was just the county's opinion until there's some action. It was the county's opinion that that was not an appropriate use to fund that reserve.
So until there's some action such as this, passing this resolution, then he's going to take action?
On someone's part to challenge our ability to be able to apply that reserve to that particular expense.
Okay, so he doesn't think it's right to do it, but we're going to go ahead and do it anyway unless someone challenges it. Okay. So $57,000... in administrative expenses out of the total of, what, 611, I think, was our budget for next year. So that's almost 10%,
8%.
Being used for wastewater bond assessment duties.
Yeah, I basically, again, as we talked about in the budget public hearing last week or right. whenever it was, the percentages contained in the previous admin allocation study were carried over for this year. Those were not, I don't have the time with the district, the experience, the number of years in administering this to know whether that's the appropriate number or not. It's going to take a little bit of time to go back and validate. I'm of the opinion that when you've got an outside contractor that is doing almost all of the work. I've never seen it done the way that we contracted for it. We missed, there was a piece of the work that is actually contained later in the board packet, but the actual administration work related to the wastewater assessment bonds pursuant to the act that they were issued under is much more than we've been able to do. We did a lot of in-house letter writing and communication that really didn't fill the requirement, and so we're starting to lose our credit rating. And so these actions, you know, there was a lot of work that was documented of staff, and I believe that's probably where they came up with the 9%.
So just to clarify,
you have to get recognized. Okay, John Aaron.
It's the $25,000 Mr. Erb objects to, or
yes.
The yes.
Yes.
But that's...
That's
set out in the bankruptcy plan.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So let me ask, I have some questions, too, and I'm going to piggyback on what Chuck just asked. So in the past, we have contracted with Wallace Group to do this. We're now going to contract with NBS Government Financial for the $9,750, which, if I understand correctly from our budget hearing a couple of weeks ago, that's just a little bit less than we were paying Wallace Group. Is that correct?
Well, it will reduce the Wallace Group's expense a
right.
little bit because they're currently doing that as part of this whole exercise.
Right, I understand that.
And this will this adds as a separate line. So in reality, when you look at the total bottom line change, we're going up by probably $6,000.
Okay.
In reality.
And then this one-time setup charge, could you explain that in a little more detail?
That is because we haven't been meeting the disclosure requirements of the bonds. We've got, there's a certain method that you have to use to account for the changes in the assessment district over the years. It's not just an engineering exercise, it's a financial exercise, it's a notification, it's working with the banks, it's working with the county tax collector, it's working with the trustee, and a lot of paperwork that is far beyond my expertise. I have had two other assessment districts and have never seen the letters that we're receiving that are deficiency letters and concerns with credit rating and everything else, and it's basically because we have not filed the required reports, and we haven't filed the audit as well. That's also
okay. So this number, the 9,500, is not related with bringing NBS Government Financial on board.
It is. Sorry, it is to pay them to get all of the reporting up to date and to get our credit out of Credit Watch negative.
Okay, but I guess my point is, the question is, we would be spending that money regardless, whether we're paying it to NBS Financial or somebody else.
We would be finding someone to do that work.
Okay. And then I guess I'm going to piggyback with Chuck on this, the $57,000. I guess I still don't understand that amount. But
Are you saying that Wallace can't do some of the things that, that this new firm, NBS, is going to be doing? I guess I'm wondering, if we've been unhappy with the tax assessment rolls prepared by Wallace, do we really need the extra firepower that this firm brings? I mean, they have a lot of different things that they do, but do we need them?
You do not currently have the capability to meet the requirements, either through your agreement or the expertise at the Wallace Group. My experience, or you know, anybody that I can just tap into to get this work done, it's something that is always included in the administrative fee portion of the assessment proceedings, because it's absolutely necessary to keep these creditors happy. And I can tell you, I can't do it, and I would be contracting with someone to do it. It's something that they had proposed on several years ago, but it never made it to the board for some reason.
Who's they?
NBS had. NBS Government Financial. They had been working with the district management.
Okay. Okay. That's just what I'm wondering. How long has this non-filing of reports been going on? Is it the last 2 years? If so, that's pretty simple to pinpoint the problem, and the problem wasn't the Wallace Group.
No, it's not. I am not blaming it on the Wallace Group at all. They don't have that expertise. I called and confirmed with them. They have never been contracted for this.
Okay.
And the three assessment districts that they do administer, this is the largest and most complex, and they were never contracted to do that work and don't have the expertise. Yep. It's not an engineering exercise. It's a financial and legal compliance exercise.
Okay. I think that question has been answered. So, with that, then, we'll go to public comment on this item, which, again, is 2B5. Richard?
I think you need to see those deficiency letters and delve into them. There's very few changes in the assessment district from year to year, if any, and he's shaking his head yes. Mm-hmm. So why can't Wallace prepare the tax rolls like they have in the past? But I've only got 3 minutes. Mr. Erb has a major problem with the $25,000. That's been documented. The administrative draw of $57,000, that doesn't come under that act. That you can draw administrative fees for the district to run out of a wastewater bond assessment. The administrative fee for a bond assessment is to administer the bond, to do the assessment rolls, to submit them, and then any collection. But the collections are all done by the county, and this is a teetered community. So we don't have any cost on that end. So it's basically preparing the rolls. There's absolutely no justification for $57,000 or 9% of the administrative budget for this district to be added to the bond assessment for the first wastewater project. 9%, let's round it to 10, means that the three people in the district office are spending 4 hours a week, each of them, every week of the year, on a account that's basically now at the point of being an absolute pass-through. It's a holding account. That's all it is at this point. And if the bond reserve was completely repaid, that's all it would be. I absolutely believe you cannot pass this tonight. If you pass this tonight, it's going to get challenged. And I don't believe your general manager had the full and thorough discussion with Mr. Erb of the breakdown of this $101,000. This is adding $24.32 to everybody's assessment this upcoming year. That's a doubling of what it was last year. He didn't believe you had authority. Mr. Erb didn't believe you had authority to do the 12. I absolutely believe he's not going to have, his opinion is you don't have the authority to do 24. This isn't a district where assessments are changing every year. We have no building. The only assessment changes that really come about is if somebody has paid off their assessment through the sale of a property and paid the, buyer or seller agrees to pay the assessment off. Other than that, it's static every year. You take the total, you divide it by the number of parcels, and that's the, and you can add the administrative fee to administer that account, nothing more. Thank you. This is going to get challenged if you approve this.
Thank you, Richard. Julie?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and a couple of things Mr. Campa said. First, he was referring to the discussion that you had at the budget hearing last week, and for the benefit of the public, that meeting was not televised, but if they were interested, Ann does audio tape, and people can get a hold of the audio tape and be able to listen to it. I don't know that you'd still find answers there to this particular question, but that was disingenuous to the public to have that hearing without televising it as we are accustomed to in Los Osos. He also mentioned the letters of deficiency, the types he's never seen before. Have you seen them? And if you have, even if you have or have not, they should have been part of the exhibits to make the argument that you need to do this tonight. I wish I had seen this particular exhibit. It would have sent me back to my archives where I have Mr. Erb's letter, because I can't access your archives on your website. But Mr. Erb's letter, and I remember him being very concerned about what you were doing at that time, and I don't buy the explanation, and I don't think Mr. Erb will, of Mr. Campa with this approach. And as I recall speaking to Mr. Erb at the time, the $12 and the heartburn he had over that, and I asked then, what would you do? How do we rectify that with the ratepayer, the bond payer, the assessment district? And he said that, you know, it would be difficult to actually pay everybody back the $12 and that you simply wouldn't collect in the subsequent years to get that paid back down. What is glaring to me is you have not had a finance committee. And all of this should have been hashed out in that committee. That's what they are there for, is to help you. And you would have had your questions answered thoroughly tonight. We would too. And I would ask that you do not pass this tonight. Later, you have anticipated litigation. Don't think that that won't happen with this. If you pursue this, and this assessment district has been controversial for years, you're inviting anticipated litigation and closed session and legal bills for, welcome, Mr. Hanley. Right out the gate, you're going to hand him a lawsuit.
Thank you.
That's ridiculous.
Thank you, Julie. Any other public comment? Okay, we'll close public comment and come back to the board. I just have a question because this isn't crystal clear to me, although I think it is. If the $24.32 is only to cover the $57,684, is that correct? That's what doesn't make any sense to me, because the two top numbers, the $97.50 and the $9,500, we're not paying now. So the way I read this thing is that 2432 only covers that $57,684.
No, it's the total.
That encompasses, yeah. Well, what are we paying now?
You have the $12 administrative fee.
That's all we're paying now.
That is what you're paying, right?
Okay.
But it's nondescript about how it's applied, other than in discussions with U.S. Bank and with the county related to paying toward this bond reserve.
Okay. More questions, discussion?
Well, yeah, I have a problem with work, because essentially we're doing a rolling over the allocated administrative expense from last year, correct? And so we don't really have a handle on what the true administrative expense is going for this year. And so I do have a problem, because I think that a lot of high-end salary people were working on this last year when they shouldn't have been. And so we've got an overinflated allocation. Now, I'm assuming that next year, when this comes before us, we can probably reduce it, but the problem we have is we're doing it this year. And so we have the one-time setup, and so we're going to go forward with the $97.50 in the future. And then also for the bond reserve fund, that's mandated by the bankruptcy court, correct? Is that my understanding? Is that where that comes from? That
yes.
We have to do it.
It is a fund that you have to have. It is not, if you could come up with that funding another way other than having it as part of this assessment, I don't believe that you have to specifically have it as part of this and take it from that to fund the bond reserve. I think that's actually kind of a point of controversy, but again, that's going to be somebody who would specialize in that legally and procedurally.
Yeah, because I have a problem with this. I understand the timeline on it. I think that I remember the discussion with Mr. Erb last year on this, and it's just not a good situation.
Let me see if I've got a compromise here. And the reason I say compromise is because I completely understand the concerns. I'm not trying to throw anything crazy out there. The administrative expense you had, the administrative expense itself does not change. It's the percentage allocation that we haven't had the experience with. It's the way that $611,000 is attributed to each of the services. That's what we're talking about, and whether that 9% is correct or not. And that is that last year, if it is true that 9% was attributable to wastewater, it was never funded in any way. It was just allocated to it with no source of revenue to cover it. And so this is a change in that the administrative expense associated with administering that particular service, as it was documented before, is actually funded rather than not funded. I didn't see any discussion of how they were coming up with paying that cost.
One thing, I still think that, I mean, that's something we have to really look at this coming year, because I still believe this is highly inflated. I think that essentially the only two people that touched this, my understanding, was the general manager and the accountant, no one else. And I can't believe that no one else in the office could handle what has to be done here to that extent. So that's just where I'm coming from on that. I understand what you're saying about it's never been allocated before directly into here, so... Okay.
With that, then, Vice President Storm.
I understand the concern about the $25,000. That has to do with the bankruptcy, and so that every time we have an issue where the bankruptcy plan orders us to do something, it always puts a little bit of gum in the works because it's different than the routine that everybody's used to. But so leaving that to one side for 1 minute, two things. First, we're just setting aside money, right? In this discussion, we're setting aside money, or maybe just setting aside money for the maintenance of this bond reserve. Later on, we're going to talk about the contract. Second, this administrative expense is in our preliminary budget. Mm-hmm. It's not in our final budget, and we were a little bit pressed for time on that. And now that we're having a discussion about that, this money, as I understand it, is going to fund what the expenses are projected to be.
Correct.
I don't think they're going to be $60,000. I think if it would be a different question for me if we were talking about retrofilling
right.
last year. Mm-hmm. I think that if we pay the Wallace Group to manage one portion of the wastewater, of the engineering part of it, and this other setup to do it, that should be the administrative fee that we're looking for, and you know that's closer to $4 or $5, not including the $25,000. I'm not really sure what I think about that yet, and I know this creates problems elsewhere in the budget, but one thing at a time, and this is what's before us, and we're not gonna do $60,000 of work on this fund this year. So what I'd like to ask that we do here is figure out, I mean, if we don't send this back to the Wallace Group basically at this meeting, then it's going to go to, is it going to go to zero or is it going to be left at 12?
I would need some form of direction, I would say.
Okay, so.
Because that was for placement on the tax rolls the last time, so I would need some action.
So we need to do something. And I think, unfortunately, the safe thing to do is to just allocate for the fees related to maintaining the assessment district, and whatever that number would be. I don't have I don't know if we have broken out the Wallace Group charges that'll be on there next year, but anyway.
That would be an option. Would be if you did put it off and get a specific exact expense this year for that one time, confirm that it was truly a one-time fee, because again, that's a high estimate. That the $97.50 is including all the expenses and everything. If that came in half of that,
okay.
You know, well, so it could be after the fact.
The going off those costs that are in our discussion right now, that I'm comfortable. I'm not going to make a motion yet because I think we need to have a lot more discussion, but. I'm getting $4.59 for the $97.50, the $9,500, and then divided by $41.92. So that's probably what I would support at this time.
Well, yeah, let me weigh in on this. I was involved, obviously, in the bankruptcy, and we did have some discussions regarding the $25,000 last year. I think we do need to leave that in. So I agree with what Vice President Storm saying, to the extent that what I would like to, I think the $57,684 is just not workable in my opinion. What I would like to see is the $97.50, the $9,500, the $25,000, and then whatever the Wallace Group's fees for doing the tax district on top of that would be, and then just make that the assessment. I just can't see, in which case, instead of doing $57,000, we'd be doing an additional, $4,000 or $5,000. I think I just have a problem with this number.
Why would we be paying the Wallace Group to do anything? I thought we were going to hire this new firm. They did it all. Isn't that the case?
Oh, they're not going to generate the tax rolls?
No, they'll do everything.
Oh.
Yeah, they do it all.
NBS.
So that's the exact, result, worst case scenario cost.
So then, I would just see the top three items personally.
Could we just have? I just remember that discussion with Mr. Erb last year, talking right. about how you're not going to pay people back the $12. You just won't collect it from them in the future. And now we're going to double. You know, I mean, he was really serious about that discussion. And I'm just uncomfortable that we haven't resolved this all with him. And I know the judge said that he wanted this paid back in this manner, but judges aren't always correct.
Well, federal law, bankruptcy law does trump. Yes. No pun intended there, but.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Okay. No more of those.
Well, I can support, modifying the resolution to bring the money back down. I mean, that's, I just don't know. Do we have that number yet? What that would
$10.56.
Is that
somebody needs to double check that? But
he's calculating now.
Who else is doing the math up there? What was your number?
1056.
Right on. That's exactly it.
I mean, either. Yeah. Well, I agree. Federal law, especially an order from a federal judge that hasn't been appealed, that goes past its 60-day or whatever finality. It's a final judgment from a federal judge. You can't get much, unless you're a religious person, you can't get much higher law than that. So I'm comfortable with 1056.
If we need either further discussion or a motion at this point.
No. I can make the motion that we modified. I move that the board adopt resolution 2016-27 and limit the money to $10.56 for administrative fee and direct staff to submit adopt a resolution to the county for collection.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Further discussion, please.
Mr. President, could I just clarify? I'd like to ask that I'll modify that table and remove the item for the district administrative expense.
Correct.
So that it just shows those three items and include that as part of Exhibit A. Just so that it's there in the future and shows how it was calculated.
Anybody have any objection to that?
No.
No.
Okay, we'll go ahead then, and no further discussion. Would you have a roll call, please, Ann?
Director Wright.
Yes.
Vice President Storm.
Yes.
Director Sasania.
No.
Director, President Ohilski. Oh, Tornatsky. Director Tornatsky.
yes, thank
President
you.
President Ohilski.
Yes, yes. Okay, so passes 4-1. Okay, so with that, then we'll move on to item B. Pardon me. With 2C, adopt resolution submitting district past due water accounts as listed in general manager's report of delinquent water charges and approved collection in the 2016-17 tax rolls. So, can we have the staff report, please?
I'll make this one as simple and painless. Again, this is an annual action. The code gives us the authority to be able to collect delinquent accounts on the tax rolls, and it is a very effective means to collect delinquent accounts. Don't have a huge amount to put on the tax roll, but it is well worth the time and expense to do so for collection.
Anybody have any questions? Okay, with that then, we'll open the public comment. Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment and bring back to the board for discussion and or a motion. Lou, you haven't made one yet. It's your turn. I need a motion here or something, guys. Please.
Okay. I move the board adopt resolution 2016-28 confirming the report of the district general manager for delinquent water collection charges and authorizing the collection of delinquent charges on the county tax roll, period.
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, can we have a roll call, Ann, please?
Director Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Sesania?
Yes.
Director Tarnowski?
Yes.
Vice President Storm?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, that will bring us to our last item under number two, which is item D, the fiscal year 2014-2015 audit report. Excuse me. Can we have a staff report on that?
I couldn't be happier than to announce that Adam has been able to pull things together on our behalf and stick with us long enough to go through a number of different staff members and different managers and keep his head together and us keep our head together on the other end and get this audit produced for 2014-2015. We've got people that we've got to submit it to, and the typical action of the board is to read, review, understand, and file the audit. There's a number of financial figures in there that go usually far beyond what is expected for everyone to understand, and also understanding that one of the primary focuses of the annual audit is for the auditor to serve as your eyes and ears by testing the financial systems of the district to make sure that there is a reduced opportunity for fraud and theft or problems associated with the finances, and to make sure that management is following accounting standards and policy. And so Adam is here tonight with the ability to be able to cover the audit with you and answer any questions you may have. And unfortunately, we had to work until the last minute to get it done, and leave it to Adam from there.
Thank you.
Hi. As introduced, my name is Adam Geis, and I assume you guys all have the financial statements and everything in front of you now. So I did want to point out a few things. As you know, these are the financial statements up through June of last year. So it's about a year in arrear at this point. One thing that I wanted to note, because it is a change from the prior year, in particular in the opinion letter, we did get to the point where we got the information needed and have issued a clean opinion on this audit report. The prior year we were unable to do that. So I did want to point out that significant change in the audit report. A few other items in here were new this year, the biggest being changed the reporting of the pension expenses. The pension on the government-wide statements and in the notes is now reported as a liability. Before, it showed up as an expense in the financial statements as the contributions were paid to CalPERS. Now, starting in 2014-15, CalPERS does an actuary study and determines a liability that the district owes for its employees. So when you're looking at like the net position and total liabilities, you'll see total liabilities increased and net position of the district decreased. And a large function of that was the reporting of the net pension liability, as well as the two new categories, deferred inflows of resources and deferred outflows of resources, as you can see like on page 11. Deferred outflows of resources, that number is your 2014-15 pension contributions. Before, that was reported as an expense. Now it's reported essentially as an asset. For deferred outflows of resources. Deferred inflows of resources, also it comes from the CalPERS actuarial study, and it is accounting for mostly the differences between their expected and actual returns on investments. That's not a number that you guys really have any control over, but it's reporting what CalPERS experienced on their investments. So that those are the major changes in the reports. And really you can see the effect of those on page 35, which is the note of the long-term liabilities. As you can see, the prior period adjustment for adding the net pension liability, it was almost $850,000 for adding that. Aside from that, the bankruptcy balances, everything from the bankruptcy is gone out of the report, except for the agreements that you still have to pay stuff. And another thing that happened was, as you guys know, you guys passed a resolution to transfer balances from the old solid waste fund into a new fire fund. That resolution didn't occur until the current fiscal year. So those balance, that fund balance and that cash is currently shown in your general fund, and then next year it would be shown in that new fund that was created by that resolution. It was no longer proper to show it in the solid waste fund because the solid waste doesn't exist as a franchise within the district anymore. So that balance is shown as part of the general fund this year. Getting to the supplemental letters, the management letter, which is the, it has a long title, mentions the government auditing standards. This letter details the main findings that we came across during our audit field work. As you can see, a few of the main items that were findings in the prior year did get cleaned up. The finding for lack of liability for compensated absences, that was corrected. A compensated absent report was run on June 30, 2015. So we had the balances for compensated absences, and then actuarial was done for the other post-employment benefits, the retiree health benefits. So those were some significant findings in the prior year that were no longer part of the findings this year. And then to walk through the findings, the first one on bank statement reconciliations. Basically, the bank reconciliations that were done in the past year when we first started looking at the books were not done in a proper method and were, I guess, essentially forced through journal entries and adjustments, which is also leads into the finding number two, is there are a lot of journal entries between cash and fund balance, which is not... not typical for a government agency and makes it difficult to track what's going in and out. Part of the reason why the audit is so late is because we were trying to get those items cleaned up and an external CPA firm was hired by the district to go back and redo the bank reconciliations for the whole year. So the bank reconciliations that the new balance that the June 30, 2015 report is based off of no longer include journal entries in the reconciliations. And then also with the journal entries, there was no process where the journal entries were getting done and officially documented and reviewed and printed. Journal entries were being made and there was no signed approval process or anything that was held in the records. So again, those were the two more major findings. We also had some issues that we came across during our payroll testing. A lot of these related to tracking of leave hours. Part of the problem, as it was explained to me, was that the payroll system at some points in time would miscalculate leave hours or leave hours were dropped and then had to be added back in. I don't know, and I don't think the district really knew why that was occurring, but as it was found, they were corrected. But it could have potentially led to some of the issues that occurred with the leave hours. And then the other thing mentioned about the overtime pay was a misunderstanding of the government rules of how to calculate overtime pay and that basically the 8 hours of regular pay needed to be met before the overtime pay kicked in. The next finding on petty cash and district cards. Anytime,
Excuse me, Director Storm.
Go ahead.
Are you reading out of findings in this? What page are you?
Oh, I'm on the letter that goes with the report, the government auditing standards letter.
Page 4.
It's not in the bound section.
Thank you.
Do you have the? I just want to make sure that we have that in front of you. It's not. It's not in the bound book. It's separate.
That's the basis for the question. We do not have that.
Okay. Those were emailed and delivered.
Are they separately. On the?
Is that the letter of June 30th? Is that letter of June 30th?
Yes.
That you're referring
yes.
to. Okay.
Yes.
Sorry, I assume that you guys had this in front of me.
Yeah,
Adam,
I do have it if it was one email. I'm
yeah,
sorry
it
that,
was.
I haven't. Yeah.
Thought it was going to be in the. In fact, we were trying to figure out when we got it today exactly what order to put
okay.
it in.
Okay.
Trying to figure out which way you were going to bind it if it was going to be in there. So,
okay.
Apologize. Just didn't know it wasn't in the bound copy.
Well, so Chuck and I got ours on the email, so everybody else has a hard copy. So we're good.
Okay.
Thank
so
you.
I'm on finding 4 now. I went through the first 3. Finding 4, basically, any time that district funds are used to purchase a meal at a restaurant, it's really important that itemized receipts are kept in order to detail what was being purchased in that. And there was 3 instances of the transactions that we tested that those receipts were not kept on file for whatever reason, lost or not included in the reimbursements submitted. And then the last one on page 5, inventory counts. This is for the inventory held in the water maintenance yard. And basically, from my understanding of what happened was at June 30, 2015, that the staff was instructed by management that inventory counts were not necessary, and therefore they were not to perform inventory counts. Inventory typically, in terms of the financial statements, is not a material balance for you guys, but without an inventory count and a list of what that balance is, you can't say for sure exactly what the balance would be. And you guys do keep parts on hand, so. I guess that's going over the letters.
Adam, just to address the inventory issue, when Adam was putting this together and developing the findings, and because we were approaching the end of the fiscal year, he did give me a call and say that that was going to be addressed and that that we should very strongly consider doing inventory this year. So that was very much appreciated. And Margaret did see to it that she and Frank went through the inventory, and we also started an inventory process with the fire capital equipment as well. So all in all, it's good. It's to protect our assets to make sure that we know what we've got on hand, and when it gets disposed of, it's taken off. And so anyway. And then on each of those findings, there the response from the district in the district's corrective action plan comes from a letter that was prepared by me and sent to Adam as a commitment of the action that we're going to take to deal with those issues. Most of them we've already put in place, and so I expect that these will be handled very well next year, or this as part of this fiscal year and next year.
Is that the end?
Yes.
Did we have any questions before we go to public comment? Okay, seeing none, if you could let us have public comment, then we'll call you back up. Thank you.
Julie Tacker, and I am not finding the district's response. Is this in here?
Julie, go on.
Okay.
You'll answer at the end. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, that would have been helpful if it was flagged or something.
Okay.
But I am particularly interested in the findings associated with the compensated absences. When you had your last audit, and Mr. Erb wrote his letter in response to that, he had some concerns about the overpayments, and that's what we've got again, is overpayments to our staff. And he was asking then, and I'm asking now, if you're going to recover that. Now, the danger in that is that there also could be mistakes on the district's side, in the district's favor, and maybe we end actually owing the employees. But, you know, unless someone does a thorough forensic audit of these payroll, we'll never know how much is owed or not owed the ratepayers. The other one, the petty cash and the district debit cards, I think I told some of you about this, but there was a, I called it a meet and greet with the farmers last year when Golden State and LOCSD hosted and shared the cost of a wine, cheese, fruit, hot wings. It was a lovely affair. But when the receipts, and I did ask for those in a public record, when those came out, I was told there was wine on there, and I know that that's not allowed. The district is not allowed to pay for alcohol. I was told that the half that Golden State paid had the wine in it. Does that strike anybody else as odd? That is still illegal. Half is half. And you can't, if you carve out the wine, then it's not half anymore on the district side. So while this is technically a clean audit, it's crappy. These findings were glaring, and everything was going to be better. And I'm glad Ms. Kively is gone. I'm glad Mr. Doyle is gone. I'm hopeful for the future, but this was going to happen. This was going to happen.
Thank you. Richard.
I wish this had been at Finance Committee and that everybody hadn't gotten it at the last minute. I'm going to just focus on one fund at this point. The fire fund on page 14. At the top, restricted cash and investments, the 5251. Is that the public facility fees, and then further down under restricted, which one of those three designations would of restricted reserve would that be held under? Either fire and emergency services, equipment replacement, or capital outlay. And then if you go over two pages more. And I know the auditor was working on the numbers provided by the district, but if you go maybe two-thirds of the way down the page, excess of revenues over expenditures for 14-15, $332,419. And I've been bringing this up for more than a year, that was a year of substantial surplus. But what bothers me here is the transfers out of 38,686. The budget for transfers out that year was much higher. It was over $100,000+. So was that transfer not done? Was it done the next fiscal year? This is all under previous management. I just am hoping that net fund balance of 293
isn't overinflated when we get into this next audit cycle. I mean, this is something that should have been discussed at finance. I'm sorry. These numbers don't match up what you budgeted for transfers out from the fire department and transfers into reserves. And I still don't, and I've mentioned this a number of times, I still do not remember the board ever designating that surplus from 14-15 into which reserve category. My time's running out. I had other questions, but boy, this is way late in the process to get this, and it's not the auditor's fault, but this could be approved next month, I believe, and let it go to finance so at least some of these questions can be answered.
Thank you, Richard. Any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment. I think we'll get the auditor back up to answer some of the questions, but as far as the district's response letter, Peter, would you like to answer that question?
As far as what I was starting to say, I'm sorry. Yeah, the letter was generated, I believe it was on Friday or Thursday of last week. It's it basically just has these, when you look at on the findings and the recommendations, and when you look at the bottom of each and it says district's corrective action plan, my letter specifically states that. I don't know whether it was cut and pasted or retyped or whatever it was, but that's pretty much verbatim what I wrote in my letter. So all my letter was just basically acknowledging the findings and stating the corrective action.
Okay, we need to make sure that letter gets in the public record here. Okay. So could you make sure that gets on the website, please?
Yeah, that is correct. The district responses, the corrective action plans, is just taking word for word what he wrote in.
Okay, but I would like to see that available to the public.
Absolutely.
Would you like to respond to some of the specific questions?
Well, I do know one thing, the question about the fire transfers. It does look like there was a significantly larger budgeted transfer out. If you go to page 46, which has the budget comparison. So, yes, there was about $109,000 that were budgeted to be transferred out. Only about $39,000 was transferred out. I can tell you the numbers, but I don't know the reasons for that.
That's fine.
I'll report that out. Marshall, I'll specifically address that in the next finance committee, because I think that's a good point to understand, is how the audit differs from the budget, because there are substantial differences, and it's good to know what they are.
Okay,
if you don't mind.
All right, thank you. Does the board have any other questions at this point? Or while we have them up there, it's your chance.
What, I guess, I don't know if this is a question for you or Peter. What's the time frame here? I mean, who does this go to next? When does it have to be there?
I guess on who you talk to. The banks, iBank, where we have our loan, and the administrators and trustees of our wastewater bond fund, it's due to them at the first of the year. So we're significantly late there.
First of the fiscal year.
First of the calendar year, January 2016, the audit. Okay. Typically, you have your state controller's report filed within 100 days, and then your audit is not far behind that. Typically before the first of the year, and they were sending letters to us not long, usually emails.
Well, you've answered it. We're way behind.
We are.
Okay, that's the response I was looking for.
Right.
What I'm after is the fact that this hasn't been to Finance Committee. I'm really uncomfortable with being handed this kind of thing the morning of being asked to receive and file. And so I'm wondering, if we're already this late, what's another month to have the Finance Committee look at it?
Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, this is an independent audit, so I don't know. The Finance Committee can look at it in the context of the budget, but the Finance Committee is not going to give any direction to the independent auditor.
Well, okay, maybe it would be just to have questions answered at the Finance Committee, to have an auditor there to be able to do that kind of thing. I mean, there were questions, obviously, that, like you said, I can't answer. I don't know. I mean, I know what the money, where it is, but I don't know why it's there. There are just a lot of those kind of questions that hang over the past year and a half with this district. I understand your point. That's a point well taken. If nothing's going to change, then why the delay? Okay.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah. Vice President Storm.
I think this, we've continued hearing on the budget to wait for audit reports to come in, and certainly I don't think we want to go any further in this year's budgeting without having this, and so I don't think we're not going to be looking at this, and the questions that are relevant to it all should be considered in the upcoming budget process. I think that's where I would hope that it goes next.
Well, I agree. I think the question about the fire fund, I think that's definitely something the fire committee will take a look at and finance will look at in the budget process, and we have this is a guidepost for us in on the future budget, so you know, I wish it would have been sooner. I'm glad we have it. I know staff really worked their tails off in with Adam too to get this done for us now, and so I think the questions are valid, and I think through the budget process and the committees, we'll get some answers.
Yeah, we're going to bring this up later, but as far as our budget review process, the way I have this envisioned right at this point is that each one of the committees will have one session on review of the budget, and then the board will have two sessions to discuss the budget. So I see this as being a detailed process to go through the budget process. So I want to have each committee see it at least once and then the board see it twice. So that's the schedule I have developed at this point that we'll go over later when we get to the committee's part of the agenda.
I guess the one thing that I wish could happen is that the committee, Finance Committee in particular, would get a chance to sit down with the audit firm. That would be nice. But we're so far behind in everything we do anymore. We're playing catch-up.
Okay. Any other comments? Then can we have, this is a receive and file, if I understand, is that correct? So do we have a motion to receive and file?
I move to receive and file the 2014-2015 audit report.
I'll second that.
Okay, any other discussion? Thank you. Seeing none, can we have a roll call? Well, I don't need a roll call, but we'll do a roll call anyway.
Vice President Storm?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Tornatsky?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes. Thank you. And we will be in touch about potentially getting your attendance at our Financial Advisory Committee. Okay. But thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so that brings us to item number 3, which is public comment for items not on the agenda. So if you have like to talk about something that you're here to discuss that's not on our agenda, now is your opportunity. Julie?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I've done this many times before in that I like to bring up what's not on the agenda. And I've also repeatedly asked for the answers to previously asked questions that Marshall, I still think that was genius when you were president before, and I wish you would bring it back. You've been president for 6 months, 8 months, whatever it is. Bring it back so that we have answers. What's not on this agenda, and some of the heartburn I had was that the audit was not attached to the staff report so that we could study it thoroughly. You know, I got it tonight. The only time I've been able to study it is since I've been here at 7 o'clock. And, you know, fortunately there's been some other items that I didn't have to pay as close attention to, but I really would have liked to be able to read it cover to cover. And what I would really have liked was to be able to go to your website and go back and look at last year's audit side by side. Your new website does not have the archives. There's minutes, but the staff reports aren't there. And I really think that all of us, including you, need to have that accessibility. You know, Mr. Campa came on and you passed a resolution about transparency. Well, this feels very reverse of that. There's no finance committee report because we didn't have finance committee. We don't have utility advisory report because we didn't have a utility advisory committee. So again, canceling committee meetings puts you at a disadvantage when you're making decisions for the district. The budget discussion should have been televised, should have been here like a regular hearing. I don't know why we did it in the office. It was very reminiscent to the shotgun wedding. That's a genius comparison to what we did last year's audit on September 1st. So I think, you know, well, as much as I am hopeful the district's moving forward, the holes are still gaping and things aren't happening quickly enough. And this district isn't like other districts. This district is different. And we've been through a lot together. And we're going to go through a lot more together. But if we don't get things like a general manager's report, which is also not on this agenda, how do we move forward together?
Thank you, Julie. Any other public comment items not on the agenda? Yes.
Good evening. My name is Stephen Best. I've submitted an application to be able to serve on the Parks and Recreation Committee, and it's something that I've been very excited about since I learned about the opportunity. I've been coming to both the CSD meetings and to LOCAG meetings trying to find a path to address some of these issues that I see within the community and regarding the parks. I feel like I have a unique and a very direct perspective on what happens in this community because I share the use of this park every day. I'm out here with my dog. I'm doing my exercises, my Tai Chi, and so forth, and talking with other folks that use the park. I've been to all the other places in town where people, you know, go for walks and so forth. And I see, you know, the needs, and I understand what other people, how they view the situation in this town. And this is really the only green space that we have in this town. We do need more parks, but we also need to address the issues that the parks themselves create, and not just having more parks. And so these are some of the things that I feel that are equally as important with a department such as Parks and Recreation, to not just address with finding more parks, but how to manage these parks, how these parks should be maintained, how to protect our community. I've had some issues. I've come to these CSD meetings and to LOCAC meetings trying to find a path, like I said, and then I'd be told that, well, you need to go to the LOCAC meetings. You need to go to the CSD meetings when I go to LOCAC. And I've been frustrated. So now I'm here. I really want to participate. I really want to be part of this community's process to work and resolve and build a better, healthier, stronger, more enjoyable community for this for Los Osos. This evening, I was walking around with my dog and I picked up. I lost count at about 12 or 13 other piles of other people's, you know, irresponsibility, and this happens every day, and it happens not just here in this park, but on the trails, on the on our shorelines around the bay. On our schoolyards, any place where where people walk their dogs. And we need to address these kind of issues. Last year, I tried to address the issue with the homeless people, you know, that participated in this park. I wasn't getting anywhere, so I went ahead and started addressing it with the sheriff's department. Now we have a situation where the park does not have the problem that we had previously. you hardly ever see one of the homeless people hanging out here in the park getting drunk and congregating and so forth. And now I see a lot more mothers coming with their kids and enjoying the park. This is important
to me.
And I want to be part of making a difference in this town.
Thank you
very much.
All right. And Richard? Any other? Okay, you'll be the last speaker then, Richard.
Richard Margotson. First of all, thank you for at least having the discussion on the wastewater assessment additional fee. I don't know that I still agree with what the number was, but at least you had a discussion and you reduced it by something that I guess could be justified. The reason I brought up the question about the transfer from administration is the auditor is basically reviewing what happened last year, that making it, correcting entries and no money's missing, those type of things. But as a review of what actually happened in 14-15, I think there's some disturbing things in here, because if only 38, as an example, if only 38,000 went from fire out of 109 budgeted amount, how was that difference made up? Did water take a bigger hit? Did one of the other funds take a bigger hit? That's why I wanted this before the committee. We're trying to figure out how we're going to keep rates low for water, how we're going to fund the water department. There's a surplus here. We don't know if the higher administrative draw was taken the beginning of next year out of fire for some reason, because you don't do it on a monthly basis. It's the number that will eventually come out of the budget. But these are some of the questions that I think need to be answered in this upcoming, I hope, more than just a couple months process, where we continue to have these discussions to get the district to a point where it functions properly and everybody knows where the money's coming from and where it's going to. Because I was told that, as far as the fire department was concerned, Ms. Kibley only made an entry for administrative draw to the district when she needed it. That's a disturbing comment. So that 38,000 compared to what should have been 109 basically overinflates that surplus, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens next year. My last comment is public facilities fees in this audit are almost stagnant from where they were in the past. We have not had an increase in public facility fees in the last couple years. That money is due this community. Can I just finish, Marsha? Is due this community. I don't know whether the county's transferring it to us properly and it didn't get recorded or it got transferred someplace else. But the reason this is important is if at some point there's growth in this community and we need two engines instead of an engine and a medic rescue, justification can be made to help pay for that second engine when it needs to be replaced because of growth in the community.
Okay,
it's a huge issue, and it amounts to a certain amount of money each year that I don't believe we're getting, and I want somebody to start looking into it.
Well, I'm going to put that on the questions to be answered that Julie raised. Okay, seeing no other public comment, we'll go ahead and bring it back to the administrative and committee reports. The fire department report. Chief, would you like to come? My time was up. That was quick.
Don't you have a regular meeting?
The beeper got you, huh? Good evening, Mr. President and members of the board. Tom McEwen, Battalion Chief for the South Bay Fire Department, here with present for you the fire department report for the month of May of 2016. During the month of May, South Bay Station 15 responded to 102 calls. We had four calls that were simultaneous, back-to-back incidents, and of those simultaneous calls, three of them required advanced life support, which is a great reason why we keep our two paramedics on each piece of equipment. Of these 102 incidents we had, there were 74 medical aids. 46 of the medical aids required advanced life support. And other than that, we had three incidents that reported as a traffic collision, seven incidents reported as fire, 16 public service assists, and five other emergencies. Company 15 was called to cover the station a total of six times during the month of May. Administratively, Medic Engine 215 has been out of service for about 3.5 months now. It still continues to be out of service. The county has provided Medic Engine 212 as a replacement for that. The current issue is obsolete parts in Engine 215. It was purchased with some strobe-type emergency equipment, which has gone obsolete, and we're waiting to find parts for it. It hasn't been a huge cost. It's just very difficult to find the parts. Hopefully, we should have that back in service within... I've been told the last part has been found, so hopefully within another few weeks it'll be back over here. As soon as that engine gets back, Engine 15 will go into the shop for its annual maintenance, and then when it's done, hopefully we'll have the whole fleet back in service. Other than that, we have a new Firefighter 2 that came on board, Paramedic Zach Pitts. He comes to us from the San Diego unit, and prior to that, 5 years with the Rincon Reservation Fire Department. Special projects, pretty simple. We had a potluck for the staff at the for the CSD up at the fire station. It went off really well. We all had a good time. Everybody got to know each other a little bit better, and we're really enjoying being able to do that. And let's see what else. Oh, and we attended the a Memorial Day service at the Memorial Park. And that's about what we did for the month of May. Any questions for you, sir?
Yeah, Michael?
I was going to say, I think the carpet turned out well.
Yeah, the carpet's coming along well. There was one mistake there in the training room, which we're working with them to get that fixed right now. So,
okay, thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay, we'll move to the excuse me. I've got no voice today for some reason. Utility Department report.
Good evening. My name is Margaret Faulkner, and I'm here to report on the operations of the Utilities Department for the month of May. The water production was approximately 16.7 million gallons, which was an increase of about 20% from last year. Residential usage per capita went up to 73 gallons per person per day, but there were a couple high bills that went out, and because of the sandy soil, it was in people's irrigation systems, and they didn't know. I do, you know, since our stage three emergency declaration of our water shortage contingency plan, we don't provide leak adjustment credits anymore. So we do allow payment arrangements, and anybody who gets a high bill or is going to have problems with paying bills, please contact Liz, and she'll make a payment arrangement. So you don't incur any of the late fees and things like that. We try to work with all of our customers. 57% of the service area was billed for approximately 15.6 million gallons, and that's for the period of April 11th through June 9th. This generated the revenue of approximately $178,944. And the increase in consumption was approximately 3.4%, which with an increase of revenue, which was 21% compared to last year. So production runtime hours are at all of the well sites are in your tables at the bottom of the first page, and there's other tables and graphs included. We've been promoting our web portal for services to our water customers with billing inserts. And on June 22nd, we had about 352 portal users. And the reason we did this in the first place was so people could pay with credit cards. And also, if somebody needs to do just a one-time payment, they can do that. But if you set up an account online, you get access to all of your information so you can look at your usage, keep track of it, and be proactive in your water use because we do bill every 2 months. So we just want to encourage anybody out there with internet access who is in our water service area to go ahead and sign up. On effective July 1st, 2006, we do have new water rates that went into effect, so I attached the new rate sheet. And this is the second increase in the four-year financial plan and water rate study that was adopted in February 2015. As far as drainage is concerned, we just completed our third year of our five-year permit of the MS4 for stormwater, and we do annual electronic submittals of reports to the State Water Resources Control Board, and they're due in October. So although the drought is still going on, there's still pollutants that can get into our drainage systems and eventually out to the bay, so we just ask people to be, you know, concerned about picking up after your pets and also trash flying away in the breeze. This concludes my report for the evening, and if you have any questions, I'm here to answer them.
Yeah, Lou.
You mentioned the 73 gallons per person per day is average usage, and then you mentioned there are a couple large leaks. How much of the 73 gallons to me is impacted by the large leaks?
Well, that's just on the residential commercial, so yeah. So the, you know, before they're usually, the people have been doing really good getting close to the 50 gallons per person per day, but there were some doozies, two of the leaks that I remembered that Liz brought to my attention that were really huge. They made payment arrangements.
Okay, no other questions. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you.
With that, we'll move to the interim general manager's report, please.
Sorry for the lack of a written report. Getting everything together and reviewing audits and getting letters out on that were the took the top priority in preparing for this board meeting. And I do want to say that it has been a diligent effort since the minute that I walked through the door with all the staff that have been involved in the audit. I want to give everyone thanks for pulling that together, because it has it basically was a couple years worth of work in a 6-month period of time. So that needs to be recognized. And I can tell you that every single day with the district as a positive event, we're taking steps forward. So to say that we're leaving a bunch of holes or that we're not getting things done is certainly not the way that I see it. I think we're addressing policies. I see us addressing the finances of the district, immediately responding to concerns related to finances, developing protocol, internal protocol and procedures to make sure that these things don't occur again, and systems to make sure that our internal controls are absolutely solid. And that's what it's all about. And so I would go back through the district's response on our action plan when you have a chance and look at those paragraphs briefly on exactly what we're proposing to do. And challenge next year to see if we have any failures of that. And I can tell you that those will not occur. And if they do, then I've failed, or whoever jumps in behind me has failed. And I think that the board should be proud of where we are and where we're headed. One thing that is very important to understand is that we are working very aggressively toward getting a final budget. We had the preliminary hearing on the 29th, and it is going to take every bit of a month to get the documentation in order to be able to meet your objectives for a final budget based on the input that we heard and the needs and everything else and the time and the staff we have available, and every meeting we add on top of it takes additional effort. If it's not focused on budget preparation, it pulls away from our capabilities to be able to get that done. So we'll talk when we get to the committee schedule about dates and all of that. But that is a big effort, and I assure you we will have a budget on time before September 1st, and it'll be one that you'll understand and be able to track our successes going forward. Had a very productive meeting with the County Public Works Director and his assistant and project manager, John Woodell, and also Director Wade Horton. We talked about a number of things that are very important to the district and the community. The continuation of the fees in the areas of Bay Ridge and Vista de Oro, although that seems like automatic to us, we'll just keep charging them and pay ourselves back. That's something that is needs to be very carefully communicated with the county and very carefully coordinated. So we're taking care of that in advance to make sure that that's dialed in. And in fact, we'll be looking at proposing a resolution at the next board meeting to document exactly how much we've got to pay ourselves back and what the schedule is to get there, just so that that can then be communicated jointly. We intend to do a joint communication between the county and the district with the customers in those areas, just to show a united front and explain what's going on there. Very, very positive meeting. Another thing that occurred out of that meeting is that the county, if you'll remember, Bay Ridge had some significant defects in the sewer. The district funded the first phase, $140,000 worth of work out of our water fund, basically a loan to get that done, and that's why we're continuing to charge the fees there. It was intended that the district was going to, in some way, go back and get that additional work done, and there was going to be a request for loan money from the county and different things. Well, the county has now offered to do the work. So they're going to do the improvements, and they're going to, they feel that they've got the capability well within the rate structure that they have for those areas approved to be able to pay themselves back for that work and still keep the rates in those areas lower than the whole because they already had the collection system in. So some good positive stuff there. That the details on that will be worked out a little bit more at the next meeting, next board meeting. And the last thing is that the county and the district will be working on agreements as they relate to providing irrigation water to the schools using reclaimed water. That is, it is our responsibility to provide water supply, and recycled water is water supply in the community, so the agreement needs to be with us to provide that versus directly from the county to the schools. So it'll be an agreement that council works out with us cooperatively with the county and the schools to be that the entity that sells the water ultimately to the schools. So that should handle the revenue recovery issue that we talked about before.
Any questions? Nope. Okay. Yes, I did. I'm sorry.
Since the county's so agreeable in regards to Bay Ridge, is there any chance on that? Because the first phase was fairly small dollar-wise versus the second phase. Mm-hmm. Any chance that they can pony up that money back to us right away? Have you broached that with
them? They're doing the work.
No, I'm talking that's phase two. I'm talking about phase one that we funded, and we're getting paid back. The people are being paid back.
That is coming out of us continuing to charge the assessment for maybe 4 years.
Okay,
we'll recover that over about a four-year period.
Well, what I'm saying, though, is the county, we can't ask them to.
We could. I don't know why they would pay it.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know why they'd give us money for work that they expected us to do in the beginning.
Well, but the thing is, though, is that they've agreed. I personally think that they should have paid for that the whole thing because the CSD, when it was formed, took those sewer pipes without any
right.
inspection. And we don't know what we got. And then we ended up, when we gave it back to the county, they said, well, you got to repair it.
True.
And so we ponied up the first part. And I don't see why they, since they've agreed to take care of the second half, why not make us whole on the first half? So I'd like you to ask that question.
Well, we'll have more discussion on that as an agenda item at the next meeting.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Seeing none, we don't have a legal counsel at this point, so we'll pass on that report. LOCAC. Pass on LOCAC. Steve, you're up. This would be the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce report.
Good evening. I'm Steve Vinson with the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. Next Wednesday, we're going to have our chamber mixer at the Slow Roasted Coffee on
Los Olivos.
Thank you very much. Los Olivos. And we're doing it in conjunction with Morro Bay's Chamber, so it's going to be a well-attended event. Anybody's open. It's open to anybody can come. It's open to the public, and there will be some refreshments as well as door prizes featuring slow roasted coffee gift baskets. Very nice. We've got some ribbon cuttings coming up Friday, July 15th. Jules Comfy Closet will have their grand opening, ribbon cutting at 1 o'clock. It's Friday the 15th. And then Saturday the 23rd, Zaxter's Hobbies and More will have their grand opening on that Saturday, also at 1 o'clock. So it's Friday, July 15 for Jules Comfy Closet, and then Saturday the 23rd for Zaxter's Hobbies and More. We've got the golf ball drop and progressive putting contest coming up July 30 at the Sea Pines Golf Course. You could watch 500 balls drop into a target. The ball closest to the target, closest to the hole or goes in the hole, can win $1,000. We're also having a progressive putting contest with a chance at $50,000. So stop by. You can stop by the pro shop and sign up. A portion of the proceeds will benefit Junior Golf of Los Osos. Our next chamber, the next chamber member in August, it's going to be August 3rd. It's at the Energy Wise Realty, 2238 Bayview Heights Drive, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. All of our mixers are 5:30 to 7 p.m. It's not too early to start talking about the 38th annual Oktoberfest and 11th annual car show. It's going to be held down in Baywood Park. It's this year. It's the day before Halloween, so we're going to probably be leveraging that for some costume contests and so forth. Admission to the event is free. Since 1977, the festival has grown from a small group of vendors and musicians to a popular countywide event that attracts over 6,000 participants. For the entire day, Los Osos Baywood Park will be bustling with pomp and ceremony and the enthusiasm of thousands of revelers eager to enjoy the day with live music and entertainment. We have a beer garden, food, arts, crafts, a four-mile run hosted by the Morro Bay Cross Country and Track, and activities for the kids and more. So we've created a new event. We're going to have the first annual Festival de Osos, the Bear Festival. It's going to celebrate the history of our community's origins. It's going to be a community-wide event that celebrates the arts, community, and local business. Community artists, creative professionals, students, organizations, and local businesses will be invited to create a custom bear to be displayed throughout the Los Osos Baywood Park during the month of November, kind of like the Scarecrow event that they do over in Cayucas. And that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Very active. Okay, with that then, we'll move to the Emergency Services Advisory Committee report.
Yes, Emergency Services Advisory Committee met, was it the 27th, toward the end of last month, and I noticed no minutes in here yet, so we haven't got those from Harmony, I take it.
Okay.
We went over budget issues and concerns and projections for the next year. Still thinking about ways to fund the two other vehicles that are high priorities for the fire department. The staffing levels, administrative draw, the same old issues got kicked around, but kind of with the perspective of looking at this next year's budget. And I'm glad to see that we can be having monthly meetings still. I guess we'll talk about that later on, though. And any questions?
Nope. Okay, thank you. Parks and Rec?
I think this is for General Manager. I guess update.
I'll absolutely take it on.
I just look at my chair.
We have a Park and Rec Advisory Committee, and we had some good, robust discussion about potential needs and potential opportunities in the community. Again, we don't go forward projecting that we know exactly what the community wants, if anything, related to Parks and Rec. However, we're looking at a process to get really good, valid input. And we are very happy to report that the Community Center Board has offered for us to participate in their event, which is on August 13th. I don't know exactly what the time runs on that date, but it's we'll get more information out about that. But there will be a celebration for the Community Center, and I think we'll probably get...
It's the 30th anniversary celebration of this building and the community's efforts to have a community center that was tax-free, built with entirely with donations and that kind of thing. So there'll be music, barbecue, probably run about noon to 6 that day.
Yeah, so that and appreciate that very much. That's a real opportunity for us to get some information as a first step. We will likely be looking for a Parks and Rec Advisory Committee meeting between now and then to finalize the logistics for that particular meeting, who's going to be there, how long, how it's going to be set up, what the questionnaires will be like and all that. We're in the process of developing that now at the staff level. And then so we'll be able to have the committee further along. And then hopefully do an online survey as well, so we can lead people. We can actually get some input at the celebration, and then also lead them to an online survey, which will have more information and opportunity for input there to get input about what the needs of the community would be.
Okay. Any questions? Okay, seeing none, then we'll move to Basin.
Excuse me.
Not yet. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes, we are going to make an appointment to the committee, but I was going to save that till the end. So after we had public comments. So Basin Management Committee report. We did meet twice. We met to go ahead and adopt our final report. The Basin Management Committee has to have an annual report into the court. And we did go ahead and we had our preliminary draft and then we had our final draft. I think that the Wallace Group and particularly Rob Miller did a very, very good job. The initial comments we had were pretty straightforward, that we wanted to make sure that in the final draft we had an executive summary so people could look at the first few pages and understand what was in the entire document, because the document is really, really technically oriented. So they did go ahead and provide an executive summary for us. And actually, we had some changes made in Chapter 10, which is the Adaptive Management Program, which has to do with water conservation measures and other measures that would help conserve water in the community. So the Basin Management Committee did go ahead and adopt that final report for submission to the court. The other thing that's coming up is on July 20th, our Basin Management Committee has recommended a revision to the basin boundaries. That was submitted to the Water Board. The Water Board had comments regarding those changes. It is going to hearing and approval in Sacramento, scheduled for July 20th. So at that point, we'll know what our revised water basin is. Our next meeting was supposed to be July 20th, but because of that Water Basin Committee in Sacramento meeting, we've pushed that meeting back to July 27th in the same location at 1:30 in the afternoon. So that's that. Any announcements of outside things at this point? Okay, with that then, does anybody want to pull any of the items on the consent agenda? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and take public comment on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and Mr. Wright, you were right on with your proposal that the county take over the Bay Ridge debt. I think the county should take over the Vista de Oro debt as well. Let them deal with those ratepayers and the systems. It's over. You no longer do wastewater. And your administration can no longer draw from those people. The county's going to be funding the phase two of Bay Ridge, and they're going to have a 218, an agreement with Bay Ridge. Wrap this in there, make it one. So this is going to be so confusing to them. I just think it's going to backfire if you don't streamline it and incorporate it into that one bill, one debt. Mr. Campa's report. He thanked all the staff for getting through the audit and the budget, but he does call out Warmerdam in the audit and suggests that they are the reason for fixing things. I think that the response is omits Dale Flynn, and I think she should be included. I think I have a concern in that tonight on your warrant packet, you have a $10,000 warrant for Warmerdam through the end of the fiscal year. I'm aware, it appears, from reading the two agreements with Warmerdam and Flynn, that Flynn is not going to stay on as a contract accountant, but Warmerdam is, and I would like to see your board go through a competitive bid process for an accountant if you are going to outsource the accounting duties. I'm a little uncomfortable with having a firm in Modesto. With regard to the utility report, Margaret, thank you. When we had a financial advisory / utility advisory joint meeting, I think it was April, the takeaway from that hour-long meeting was education, education, education. You have to educate the ratepayers as to why their rates are going up. And in Margaret's report, it says this, in May, the increase in production from last year by approximately 20%. An increase of 20% does not look like this.
Thank you.
And you have a warrant for Barnett Cox, and I think this education should not be paid for.
Thank you, John.
Do not pay that warrant.
Thank you.
Richard Margaretson, Chuck talked about briefly the Emergency Services Committee. Just for those board members that weren't there, the budget discussion that night was about an hour and a half, just so you know, just on the fire budget. A lot of things probed, a lot of things still unanswered. Parks, I hope you have a meeting before the August 13th event, and I think we can coordinate and try to get you maximum exposure, a good spot in the room, those kind of things. So I think either Chuck or I will try to maybe attend that and get a feel for the direction you're going. But the main reason I'm commenting on this item is Mr. Campos said something that was a little confusing to me about the discussion with the county about the recycled water contracts with the school district that would help us recoup potentially lost revenue. Unless the county has come forward with a new contract that the school district is willing to accept, implementing those contracts is a loss of revenue over what we would collect under normal circumstances. If those contracts had been put in place immediately, if water had been available immediately when those contracts were signed, the maximum that it can go up at the five-year renewal period is 20%. We're never, ever going to catch up unless some board down the road starts reducing water rates and with increased conservation. I don't think that's ever going to happen unless salaries go down and cost of fuel goes down and cost of equipment goes down. I'd be really interested, or I would hope, that the board would ask for a report on specifically that conversation, and for the board to have some discussion either here or at one of the committees, maybe utilities, or I think utilities and finance both should see it. But there was a lot of analysis done back then, and there's no chance that we ever break even on that, the revenue from those contracts compared to what we would realize if we were charging them the going rates. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Any other public comment? Okay, Lynette, I didn't see you.
That's okay. Lynette Tornotsky. I first would like to thank the board for selecting Hanley and Fleischman, and I'm looking forward to you approving the contract. It's nice to see a new face over there, and I'm hoping that you guys will direct staff to get all the relevant documents to this firm. So as we are so complicated, it would be very nice if they had everything at hand to know what on earth it is we've been doing for the past 10 years. Also, I would like to hope that you approve Stephen Bess to be on the new Parks Committee. I think he would be a real asset. And then third, I had gotten an email from the DWR which stated that our basin boundary change was denied. So I'm curious as to what is happening on the 20th. Maybe somebody could amplify that. Thanks.
Yeah, in regard to the last question, they haven't gone to hearing yet. They did recommend that it be denied, but they haven't taken formal action. Okay. But then there's been communication between the county and the water board as far as why it should have been approved. So that's still ongoing as far as we know. Okay, so with that then, I would like to go ahead and make the appointment to Parks and Rec Committee to Mr. Stephen Bess. Does anybody have any objection to that? Okay. Well, with that, you're now duly appointed to the Parks and Rec Committee. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, with that then, can I go ahead and have a motion to receive and file the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
I'll second.
Moved by Vice President Storm, seconded by Director Wright. Any discussion? Can we have a roll call, please?
Vice President Storm?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Tornotsky?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes. With that, I'd like to congratulate Mr. Hanley on being our new legal counsel for the district. Congratulations. Would you like to say a few words while you get a chance now here?
No.
Are you sure he's a lawyer?
I was going to say.
Good.
Okay. Thank you very much. So with that, then, we'll go ahead and move to the general action items. Item 7, we first of all have consider a vote to elect a representative to the CSDA 2016 Board of Directors. So we can, we can submit one vote to fill seat B representing the Coastal Network and authorize staff to complete and mail the official ballots. In our staff reports, there is the, bibliographies, I guess is what you call them, the statements of qualifications. Unlike normal time, or unlike previous times, I quite frankly don't have a recommendation this time, so I'm not familiar with these as I was with some of the previous ones, so I don't know if, Peter, if you want to comment on all of them.
I am not familiar with them either. I've been on this board since 1998, and these are... it's amazing the number of new candidates that we have. I don't think the board can go wrong. Whether you select a candidate or you delegate that to staff,
we do nothing. I mean,
we've
done that in the past. I mean, I don't know if I personally, I have no strong feelings one way or the other because, like I said, I don't know any of these people, so I don't know. Vice President Storm? Well, we're in question period right now. Okay.
I got a question. Can you just briefly outline their...
what their role and responsibility
role is?
Yeah, I think, Peter, could you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. The State Association, we've been a member forever. We receive our insurance through a joint powers authority that is related but not the same board of directors of CSDA. CSDA has 18 board members, three from each of six regions, and we all work. It's a working board in that there are a lot of times that we interact with various members. We're active in the regions. This region has a very active CSDA region. Marshall's been very involved in that. And so these folks would be active in the region as well, we would hope. But a lot of it is legislative affairs. When you're on the CSDA board, you typically are on at least two committees. Legislation is always the big one. Takes the most commitment, but do a lot in legislative affairs. And then membership services, what the types of training that goes on, what sessions are held. So we make decisions about compensation for the executive director and the policies and programs of the association. In reality, it's just the board membership for a nonprofit education association. So, again, we've got so many candidates in every region, and it's not that you get paid or it's competitive for any... financial benefit or career benefit or anything else. In reality, it's a real effort. But
well, question then is what are the boundaries of the Coastal Network? Is that like a geographic area?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
And what from what to what?
If I had the, I could pull it up online, but it covers a good section of the Central Coast. I would have to pull it up to see how far south of Monterey it goes. It starts.
Starts at Monterey. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Actually, I do know the few of the candidates now that I'm thinking about it. One in particular. So do we have any public comment on this item? Yes, Lynette.
Lynette Tornotsky. Of the people's names and bios that were provided to us, the one name jumped out, Anthony Calvans. He's up in North County. I see him at the RAC all the time. And for the amount of time he's been on it, he always asks very intelligent questions and is really dialed into what the issues are. So I would like to see someone who's from this county in particular, and that has been brought up in the past, that we want someone from our county to be the representative, not some other county. So thanks.
Thank you.
Julie.
Julie Tacker, and I wasn't going to say anything until I heard Mr. Campa say, the board can recommend someone or delegate to staff. Mr. Campa is a representative from the Sierra District on this board, and I think it would be inappropriate to delegate to him unless you're going to have Ann do it and make the recommendation. This is your decision. I find Lynette's comment interesting in that it is some, you have one to choose from this county, but if you haven't done your own homework, then you do nothing at all.
Thank you. We'll close public comment and bring it back to the board. Just for background purposes here, I mean, Jeff Hodge, Jeff Hodge, as I think most of you know, he was the general manager at Templeton for an extended period of time, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, okay. I thought I was right, but nobody was giving me. So he was actively involved in the county as far as that goes. Like I said, Sharon Rose, I have no idea. Anthony Calvins is a local person, so or in the county, but I think Jeff has the background in the county too, so that's just my background on those three. Yeah, Lou?
I've said this the last time we had to vote for one of these, and I if my homework consists of reading these things, I read them, but if somebody wants me to vote for them for anything, they can contact me. If it's not a, you know, there's no weird rules about this, and I can ask them questions. If I were running for one of these things, I would try to talk to the relevant people. And I mean, in the end of the day, it's not such a big thing. But I feel like for me, I would have to. I don't know any of these people well enough to give them support. I don't know what they're going to do on this board, what they're going to do for us or any of these things. I'm left with abstention for myself.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah. If it's embarrassing to agree with my wife at a public meeting, I also think Anthony Calvin's would be somebody that helps us. All the people that go to the RAC meetings.
Your microphone also?
All the people that go to the RAC meetings, he's one of the more articulate, and wants to get stuff done. He's a guy we could potentially partner with on stuff we want to do, go after grants, and so on. Some of the others here, yes, they have grant resumes and so on, but can they help us directly in some partnership relationship? So Anthony's the only one I know of is a good bet on that score.
Okay, thank you.
Well, again, I think, you know, having a local person within the county is great. I know Anthony Sum from the local CSD association. He's always seemed well versed, participates well, and go along with what Lou's saying. If we are going to vote for somebody, I think we should, you know, vote for the home team. So,
I do have a question in here. It says the ballot was due last week. So, are we too late to vote? Oh, pardon me. Oh, I for some reason I was thinking we're in August. My mistake. It's been a bad day. So I mean, Chuck, do you have? I mean, my opinion is I just should not vote at this point, but or not cast a ballot. But Chuck, what do you think?
I was inclined not to, but hearing some strong recommendations about a local fellow from this county, I'm inclined to say why not.
I'm not going to badmouth anybody, but...
You want a motion?
I guess, if you want to make one.
Okay, I move the board direct staff to submit a vote for Anthony Calvins to fill seat B, representing the Coastal Network of the California Special Districts Association.
Any further discussion? I'm going to put my comment in here. I'm going to vote no on this particular nomination. So,
Well, I second it, and I vote for it.
No, we have a second now.
I'm sorry?
Lou seconded it. Okay.
Director Wright.
Yes.
Director Tornatsky.
Yes.
Director Cesena.
Yes.
Vice President Storm.
No.
President Ohilski.
No. Okay. All right, so that one's done. We'll move on to general action item B, 7B. Adopt a resolution approving agreement with NBS Government Financial Group for preparation of the required financial disclosure reports and documentation related to the administration of wastewater assessment district number 1. I don't know we need any more staff report because I think we discussed that under our first item there too. So unless anybody has any questions, we'll go to public comment.
There was a question raised about, or a statement made about the fact that it doesn't change very much. And that is a correct statement. And if there are not many changes, then the cost is less. If there are a number of changes, then that is the maximum that we would pay for that work. But the work that is done is much different than the work that has been done in the past by the Wallace Group. Like I said, they have not done a bad job. There is just more to be done when it comes to accounting for these assessments and keeping our credit rating up and meeting the disclosure requirements of the various the banks and Standard & Poor that normally is completed, and you file a letter and you file a report and you're done. Unfortunately, those they're not able to be produced at this point, and the requirements continue to get more and more stringent for the compliance.
Okay, thank you. Any other? Well, that wasn't a question. Any questions? Seeing none. Oh yes, Lou.
What do they do? To benefit us?
Every year they take the assessment roll that you voted on earlier tonight, and they make any changes. In other words, if there was a change in property ownership and somebody paid off an assessment, I mean, there was a prepaid period where people had the opportunity to pay it off, and there were a number that paid it off up front that didn't want it on their property tax over the years. There are changes in lot boundaries. There are lot splits, changes in use. Anything that changes the way that the assessment is appropriated to that property, because it's directly, the amount of the charge is directly related to the use of the property. And so that assessment then is calculated every year. And they prepare the reports. They analyze the reports. They work with the banks that we work with as far as trustee. They work with the county. They do any recordation that's necessary, and they complete the disclosure reports.
So is their role sort of to enable us to clean up our activities in ways that have a positive financial impact on us, or is this just credibility laundering or whatever?
No, it's an absolute requirement. Right now we're in a credit watch negative position with Standard & Poor, which ultimately is going to affect our bond rating and our ability to be able to issue bonds in the future. And so there are disclosure requirements. And this is a standard practice. We are not an agency of the size to have the financial capabilities to be able to complete these. And even if you did say, manager, you have to do it, if the next manager that comes along didn't do it, you would likely be faced with the same issue. This is a guarantee that it's going to get done year after year until the district is over.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any public comment on this item? Lynette
Tornatsky. It seems like something we really ought to do, because our future with bonds and credit ratings has been so abysmal in the past. We finally have a chance to pull it up. If we don't have to write a 6-year contract with these guys, why don't we just do it for 1 year and see what happens and see if it improves things? And I think you ought to do it.
Thank you, Julie.
Julie Tacker, and am I mistaken that this staff report was added later? I didn't see this on the website. I only saw the proposal with NBS. I'm familiar with NBS and some of the work down in the South County. There's nothing wrong with the firm. What the staff report, and this, again, I didn't see this until tonight and open the packet, but I only see the significantly deficient. The district has been significantly deficient. This is really kind of the first time I've heard that. We've had other deficiencies, payroll, and other stuff. But where's the documentation to convince you and the public that this is a step we have to take? We have been humming along with the Wallace Group with their work, and the setup fee to really set up another assessment district, which we already have, and very little changes because we don't have lot splits and we don't have new development. The properties aren't changing. Maybe they will in the future, but they're not now, and they haven't since the moratorium. So I'm not buying the argument because I don't see the documents to back it up, and I don't know why this couldn't wait, or if it was that urgent. We didn't see it a month ago, and we didn't have a finance committee on it. I'd like to see you wait. I'd like to have more information, and maybe I got the vibe that you guys want to talk to Rob and see if this is a necessary step or if we could maintain our relationship with Wallace Group for the most part on this.
Thank you. Richard?
Richard Margetson, after all this time, if there's justification for this, it would have been nice in the staff report to actually see a blank copy of the forms that need to be filled out with respect to this. And I'm wondering, this community is a teetered community. We don't have any control over whether or not people are deficient, delinquent. What we submit, we get back. That has always been enough for the bond rating services with respect to the wastewater project assessments. Because we are teetered. We're guaranteed that money. What we submit, we get back. And the county deals with all the other stuff. That's what anybody who's looking at us in a financial realm dealing with that specific element is concerned about. If we were doing this all ourselves and we were doing the collections and everything, it might be a different circumstance. But I think that takes a lot out of the equation of needing another firm to do these minor, we're not changing the downtown district to a different zoning category, or which would maybe affect an assessment, or putting 25-foot lots together to establish a new assessment for that new parcel. Those things aren't happening. The biggest thing that happens with the assessments is somebody pays one off. So what? Everybody's happy when one gets paid off at close of an escrow. That's not an adverse thing. That's a complete positive thing. I think you don't have to do this tonight. I think you need more information. It'd be interesting to see the explanation of what needs to be submitted, one of the blank forms when there is a change. I know it's only $10,000, but $10,000 is a lot of money. You just took $57,000 out of the equation under the wastewater fund that's going to be, that was planned on being transferred to administration. You got to find that money somewhere else now. Think these things through. If this does not have to happen tonight, I think you should put it off and get a better explanation and a more thorough documentation of what actually is the new requirements that we've been missing that have caused issues with any of the financing agencies out there.
Thank you, Richard. Any other public comments? Seeing none, we'll close the public comment, bring it back to the board. Discussion and or motion.
How did it come to our attention that we are significantly deficient?
We received notices first from U.S. Bank starting about the first of the year, requesting that the required disclosure reports be prepared. And so looking back through the record and looking through the file, there didn't appear to be a clear record at all of what disclosures were made or how the numbers were come about, whether they were forced out, whether they were there was no documentation behind the numbers, and that is the service that the assessment engineers typically provide.
Is that just for the past year?
A huge amount of chatter in the back. It's yeah. really making it difficult to concentrate. A huge amount of chatter.
Yeah.
I'd really like to be able to just continue the discussion. This is something that is, like I said, the very first letters came in January. The reports are due in January of each year. It is my professional opinion and my experience that a district of this size has never done this without a qualified assessment engineer that does the entire reporting process in accordance with the law, because I don't care what the form looks like, the documentation that's associated with the form, the documentation is more complex than I can produce. It's not within my scope of experience. The second came from Standard & Poor in about March. Standard & Poor is the credit rating. I asked them to wait until May because part of what their concerns were is that we didn't have a completed audit. So May 1st, they contacted me again. As of about June 10th, they placed us on a credit watch because I couldn't produce the disclosure reports and the reporting that they required. They had about 26 things that had to be produced, and also the audit report. So, like I said, I wondered why I had never seen these requirements before, and it's because I've always had a contractor on board that did it, and all we did was receive the report and file it. And why we did not go through that process, I don't know.
What I'm after is how long has this been going on? Why hasn't Standard & Poor's contacted us 10 years ago if we've never done this
kind
of thing?
You had it in your budget last year. You had the Standard & Poor's rating in your budget last year. But what they required this year, there's been a whole slew of information that everybody knew was going to be required this year. And that information was not produced, and there was nothing in the file to tell me what needed to be produced. And so through several days of poring over just miscellaneous files, we discovered that there's a missing link. There either needed to be activity from a financial investor, you know, that could assist with this, but the financial investor was just going to set us up with what they call a fiscal agent. And a fiscal agent is either a Wildan or an NBS government financial. There are a couple of different ones that do the same thing. And so I went directly to the people that I've worked with over and over again and found out that they had submitted a previous proposal to the district and for exactly this work. So it made sense to me then that this was considered before, not by the board, but by staff, and for some reason it never made it for consideration by the board. And since then, I don't know how things were done, but all I can tell you is we are deficient now, and we'll get the audit to them, but in order to get the disclosure reporting done, I need some help.
Okay, thank you. I have my own question. So why didn't we go out with RFQ or RFP?
Because this was 2 weeks ago that we went through the process to try to figure out what the next steps were to get this off dead center.
So we're talking about contracting with them for 1 year?
Sure.
I mean,
we can contract with them for just the cleanup work if you want to. And then go through a request for proposals process on the annual part of it, if that's the desire of the board. But this was the way that their proposal laid out last time.
Okay.
We will consider. We can go either way on that.
Okay. Thank you.
I just don't have time to spend 2 months on proposals.
No, we understand that. Thank you.
Can we just make it crystal clear? So this is going to replace part. It's going to be more than what the Wallace Group does, but
yes,
they're going to do what the Wallace Group does, and that's as far as we know. No upset to them.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
They were my first phone call.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, as I understand how this firm works, if we dip into their skills carefully and not sort of let's buy them all, this gives us a lot more leverage to try to do the things that we want to do. So I think this would be wise to do and try it for a year at least.
Well, my other question is, have the reporting requirements ramped up? Is that what I heard you say, that this, in the past they weren't quite as stringent, but this year there's now another layer? Is that what I'm hearing?
This is based on the conversation with the executive, I can't remember the person's name, with U.S. Bank. Okay, and U.S. Bank is,
but I think kind of going along what Chuck was saying, too, is that, I mean, how far back does this go? Because this has never been an issue before, ever, you know.
Right. Okay, so we need to, we're getting late here on the clock, so we need to.
Here's the way I look at it. We need somebody to do the assessment work anyway. It's not like, you know, if we don't like them, we can change. But, I believe what the general manager has to say, and we need an assessment firm anyway. So I don't have a problem with going with them for a year. But if you guys want to do the one thing and then RFQ the other, I mean, I guess. But it seems like it's not like it's a new cost to do the part that we already have to pay for.
Well, my only concern is the $9,500, which, I mean, I know it's up to $9,500, but that's in addition to their fee. So that's my concern there.
But isn't that a one-time come-up-to-speed sort of fee?
Yeah, but if we only hire them for 1 year.
Yeah, then we've kind of wasted that. Yeah,
exactly.
And Wallace is already up to speed.
But if Wallace doesn't
can't
have the expertise
do everything.
To do what
Wallace
we need done,
they don't have the expertise.
I mean, I think we, yeah, I don't know. I mean,
but again, it's not just up to speed. It's also to get the resolution to the credit rating issue immediately. That's my primary concern, because we're done for the year in reality on the assessment itself, the assessment role. But it is the disclosure reporting, and it is all of the specific work that's required, the documentation that's required for the assessment district. I am not the one who knows it, or I'd be preparing these reports for you.
No, we understand. I mean, yeah. Okay, so we need some direct or some motion here or something.
Okay, so what is this in the staff report? Is the contract, how long is it for? Is it for 1 year?
That is
open-ended.
It can be
open-ended.
A year-to-year basis, yeah.
Open-ended, okay.
Yeah. It's 1 year for starting.
Wallace Group doesn't have the expertise. I don't want to play chicken with our credit rating, so I'm going to move that the board adopt Resolution 2016-30 approving the agreement with NBS Government Financial Group for the preparation of the required financial reports and the documentation related to the administration of Wastewater Assessment District Number 1. And I guess we can figure out how to manage this as we go.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, I would like to, I think, amend this somehow, or if you're amenable to it. I'd like to see that we're hiring them for the 1 year right now and that we go out for an RFQ potentially, because I don't want to have this open-ended contract.
So I accept that amendment.
Yeah.
One question. Is it Resolution 2016-29 or 30? The resolution itself on the following page says 29.
It should be 30.
Okay.
Okay, so we have a motion to go ahead and approve this for 1 year and then go out for an RFP or RFQ for the outcoming years after this 1 year. Is that correct? Okay. Can we have a roll call, Ann, please?
Vice President Storm?
Yes.
Director Tornatsky?
Yes.
Director Sesania?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, we'll go to the last item on our general action items, and we are running out of time here. We do have to have a closed session tonight, so we may not have adequate time or a lot of time to discuss this item. 7C is review and approval of 2016-2017 committee work plan and schedule. I would like to, before we get into this, note that on the schedules that included in this particular item, we do not have the budget review process for all of the committees. So what I'm envisioning for that, and I'd like to lay these out before we get into that, what I'm envisioning is that, and I understand we need about another month to be in a position to take these forward to our subcommittee. So what I'm envisioning is that we would have the subcommittee meetings meet on the week of the 8th of August, which we would go ESAC on Monday, the 8th, on the 9th, which is Tuesday, and the financial advisory, then follow that up on Wednesday. And then I think the way I'd like to do this is that we'd have a special board meeting on the 17th of August for review. We're also going to talk about this at our our August 4th meeting, so yeah. It won't be the first time we see this. But so I'm proposing the 8th for ESAC, the 9th for UAC, the 10th for FAC, board meeting on the 17th. And if for some reason we really felt like we needed a board meeting, then we'd have a special meeting on the 22nd, the following Tuesday. So that's the proposal I have out there for the budget hearing process. So if you guys have any comments on those, I'd like to get those out before we talk about this next item. Yeah, the emergency services on the 8th of August, utilities advisory on the 9th of August, the financial advisory on the 10th of August. The board would then consider it preliminarily at its meeting on 8-4. We'd schedule final action at a board meeting on 8-17, a special board meeting. And if for some reason we needed to continue that meeting to a separate special meeting, that would be on 8-22. You know, and hopefully next year, I would hope, now that we've got the budget, or we'll have the budget done, and hopefully we got the audit, that we'll be able to move in a normal fashion and not be looking at this, you know, as having to adopt the interim budget and then have to do, you know, this last-minute stuff to have it done by September 1st. So, I mean, that's our deadline, September 1st. So unless anybody has any problems or issues with those are the dates I'm going to lay out for those particular meetings. And you can get out a memo to all our committee members and to the chairs. Okay? All right. Then with that, we'll move into your report. And I would like to, Peter, try to keep it somewhat succinct. And if we don't have time to finish this tonight, because we do have closed session, and I'd like to try to maybe keep this item to about 15 minutes maximum.
Yeah, that's fine. I continue to raise this issue because I feel very strongly in very productive committee meetings. It is extremely important to your staff that committee meetings be focused on forward-moving agenda items and things that help inform the board and move the direction of the board forward in its decision-making. And recognizing that that doesn't always occur on a monthly basis. I've had conversations about modified schedules, but recognizing that in the past you have chosen to go with a less frequent schedule and then move back to a monthly schedule, and that's the schedule we want to continue with at this point, I felt it important to raise the fact of the of your staff's desire to have the committee meetings as necessary, issue-based, okay? The reason that I raise that is just exactly when you're looking at this budget schedule, that is going to take a nearly 100% effort, even though a lot of this work is going to be done by a consulting CPA. I am not turning it over to them completely and then getting back a final product. It is going to take a lot of work from us and from me, and you've only got so many people that, that can work on this stuff. The committee meetings are not intended to just throw out a blank agenda of things to talk about. Your professional staff will bring to the table analysis and reports and recommendations and other things for the committee to consider. In order to do that, we've got to have prep time. So the purpose of this discussion was to open the conversation. This is one of those that we don't have the same deadline on as far as, you know, got to be done this month or tonight or tomorrow or the next day. But I thought it would be good to lay out, and Marshall's right, this does not contain the budget consideration by the Emergency Services or Utility Advisory Committee. That just would need to be weaved in here as well to the graphic. I think in graphic terms sometimes. So I am open to consideration. I have this came up because with monthly meetings, I inherently have conflicts and can't make the committee meetings, or I've tried to make them by conference call while I'm on the road coming down here, or other inconvenient things for the committee. You know, it's not, I can't imagine not being part of a committee discussion. So my hopes were that we could come to agreement that committees would be held. You know, if we need monthly meetings, we got it. But I having a meeting on the third Monday of every month is never going to happen for me. On the third Tuesday of a month is never going to happen for me. So we start to squeeze down those 20 work days in a month, and we never meet on Friday nights, so then you've got four less. You've got very few days that we can actually have meetings if we're going to hold them every month. And also recognizing that it's okay to cancel a meeting if we don't have things that bring major decisions back to the board. You know, reviewing a report on things that have already been done and in a committee, it may not be the best use of their time as a recommended practice. So I am open to your discussion. I'm looking for a little bit of flexibility from a fixed, hard monthly schedule.
Any questions before we go to public comment?
I'm just wondering, I mean, do we really need to formally approve?
No.
Anything?
No. This is a discussion item.
It's listed as review, discuss, and approve.
Well, but it does. I mean, as Peter mentioned, it's not tonight necessarily.
Okay. Well, I guess I understand everything you said in about 60 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to meet more often just to have meetings. We want to be productive. On the other hand, these committees put out good work, and the fact that you're not available doesn't mean the committees don't have work to do. That's my thought.
Okay. Well, we're on questions now. We can't have public comment. Any questions? Okay, public comment, Julie. Do you have a question? Wait, hold on, Julie.
Sure.
One of the things I've always been concerned about the committee structure is the interplay amongst the committees, as if they're addressing different planets or something like that. And I think we get better when the different committees sort of interchange. And the question is, will this structure enable that? In other words, so the Emergency Services Committee is looking at this issue. Well, that bumps up against the Finance Committee, Advisory Committee, and a lot of that back and forth, enough of it doesn't happen, in my opinion.
Well, that's what we did with the joint meeting with the Financial Advisory and the Utility Advisory, right? So that's something we're trying to implement here. Okay, Julie.
Okay, first of all, in your staff report, it talks about why meetings have been canceled, and it says that there's a lack of agenda items. So I just sat back there and kind of thought through tonight's packet and ongoing issues that the district faces, and it occurs to me that the Finance Committee, meeting monthly, should be looking at your warrants, looking at your reserves, looking at your financial statements every single month like we always have for 15 years before Ms. Kibley. The largest issue that is, it's mentioned in the plan for utilities is the emergency declaration and associated rates. Finance has to look at that too. That's not a one-horse subject. Some of the things that haven't been discussed need to be discussed. The 8th Street Water Yard upgrade, modular versus remodel, moving your office, what are the cost implications? An accounting firm or an accountant on staff. Mr. Campa last month gave you an organizational chart. Finance needs to look at that. The GM position itself should be looked at through the committee level. If you're going to continue with a part-time general manager, what part of the time do you want him? Because clearly his schedule isn't working with yours. This might not be the right part-time general manager. Talking about deficiencies earlier, you need a policy on your receiving your mail. You should have been getting those letters. Every time something comes in, if it's not a utility bill, you should get a copy. Your public relation, or you did the Public Record Act policy last month. I think it needs a thorough vetting. 4-0 staffing at the fire department, administrative allocations throughout the district, the $200,000 water subsidy. I can go on and on and on of things that need to be heard at the committee level. Mr. Campa doesn't have to be there if that's really the issue. But when you talk about going to quarterly, you had a general manager that didn't want any transparency. She kept things from you, and it was the public who saw through her. And if you don't have all eyes or all hands on deck, things like letters that point out deficiencies don't get through to you.
All right, thank you, Julie. Richard?
You probably know already where I'm going with this. If you don't learn from your mistakes, you're bound to repeat them. As an example of what's missing here, there are not enough committee meetings on this chart anyway, but Emergency Services Advisory Committee, these are the items that are proposed. Review financial condition and develop action plans. December, review of projects and initiatives planned for the fire mitigation funds. March, discussion regarding budget input. June, annual review of service status, level of service, needs, new laws, equipment. Everything we've been asking for at the committee level, board member input, is missing from this. The administrative allocation, Julie mentioned administrative allocation, 4-0 staffing, get an accurate reserve balance, understanding of where those surpluses are in our reserve schedule. The water department tax money, what's going to happen with that in the future. All of those things. There's not one of them is on this list. This is just, you know, okay, let's hold a meeting, have one item, and get it done with. Utilities, no discussion on this list of what I brought up earlier tonight, those contracts with the school district. These aren't minor items. These are major items in a district with a budget, you know, what, $4 million total? These are major items. They're not 10-cent items. They're not $1,000 items. These are major issues that aren't on here. And what invariably happens when you have a schedule like this is you spend the first half of the meeting getting caught up on what's happened the last 3 months, last 4 months, before you even get into a thorough discussion of, like when finance used to meet every 3 months. First half of the meeting was getting caught up in what hadn't happened and what needed to happen before you ever looked at anything. I think Chuck's right. I don't think the general manager has to be at every meeting. I don't think the general manager has to be at every emergency services committee meeting. If the fire chief and Harmony are there, they run the department. Margaret can be at utilities for some meetings where maybe Mr. Campa doesn't have to be there, and you look at, you know, the CIP project list. You've got overly qualified people on that committee.
Thank you, Richard. Lynette, I'm going to need a motion to go past 10.
Lynette Tornatsky. Well, I'm not very happy with the tone of the comments here. I see that it's review and approval, recommend review, discussion, and approval. Well, you guys have gotten a whole bunch of ideas. This is just a framework, for heaven's sake. Sit there and fill it out. But I think you're pretty slammed tonight. You have a closed session meeting, so perhaps you could continue this to the next meeting. Make a list of all these things, because I'm tired of hearing them come up and again and again and again. Just either put them on the list or put them to rest with an explanation, and maybe we could just do it that way. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, with that, we'll close public comment. What I would suggest is, since we're running late here, what we did back at the beginning, what we do at the beginning of every year is lay out the tasks for the committees. We have a new general manager or interim general manager since then. So what I would suggest, based on the comments that we just heard and based on what's in the staff report, that we do go ahead and, if everybody could provide their written comments to the general manager before the next meeting, and then we can have a substantive discussion at the next meeting about this. But I think it's just because we do have closed session yet, I think it's something, unless somebody feels like we need to get this done tonight, I'd rather just continue this out and recommend that everybody on the board provide written comments or verbal comments to the general manager, and that and the members of the public that would like to comment do that. So you have everybody's good with that? Okay. All right. So that's where we'll go with that one. Then I do need a motion to continue past 10, please.
So moved.
Second.
This is the first time I've done this since I've been president this time. I'm just... That's what time we normally start. Okay. So we have no pulled items for number 8, number 9, future agenda items. I think we just set up one. Yeah, well, we set up two. We set up the budget and this. So I think we've got, as far as future agenda items, those two. There will be some things that are going to be coming up in the short term that's going to have to be addressed, such as the water rates with the school district, et cetera. So those will come as they come. So with that, do you have any closing board comments before we go into closed session?
August 13th, the 30th anniversary celebration, the community center here. Music, food, fun, all kinds of good stuff.
Sounds great. Any other comments?
Just real quickly, I'd like to thank staff for the hard work, including Dale, including everybody, for the hard work getting the audit rectified. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, I'd like to thank everybody for that, too. I think since I've been on the board, this is the second time that we've gotten a clean audit, so that's 2 out of 8 years, or pardon me, 7. So I do appreciate all the hard work on that. Okay, so with that, I'll go ahead and announce the closed session items. We have a conference with legal counsel on anticipated litigation. Significant exposure to litigation pursuant to paragraph 2 of subdivision D of Government Code section 54956.9. Do we have any public comment on this closed session item? Okay. Seeing none, then we'll adjourn to closed session. Are we going to go back there or just stay out here? Oh, AGP's back. Yeah, I forgot AGP was still here.